Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
When President Trump tweeted last week without evidence that ballots in the Florida election were massively infected, many news outlets repeated his statement in headlines and tweets without pointing out that it was untrue. That bothered Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, who thinks the media should be doing more to stop spreading misinformation when it quotes the president. Derek joins us now from New York. Hi.
Hey, Jamie.
So this issue is one that the media have been grappling with since Trump announced he was running for president. He's not the first president to say things that are not true, although in the month leading up to the midterms, the Toronto Star journalist Daniel Dale says Trump made an average of 26 false claims a day. What do you think the media ought to be doing?
This is a really hard issue because on the one hand, it is very clearly the media's job to report what the president of the United States says, thinks, and is about to do. Obviously, that's the case. But it's also obviously the case that the president passes along falsehoods and conspiracy theories and sometimes even hate speech. And therefore, I think the question for a lot of news outlets is, how do we quote the president without essentially acting as hosts for a viral lie or a viral conspiracy? And I come up with sort of two theories here, and mostly what I'm concerned with, because in a long article, maybe there can be a lot of context, I'm really concerned with headlines and tweets because so many people consume the media almost exclusively through reading the headline or just reading a tweet or short Facebook post. So I suggest, one, something like selective abstinence, that is not necessarily defaulting to quoting the president every single time he says a falsehood, but rather fronting or rather sticking with the truth and covering other things that are entirely true, or second, aggressive contextualization. The linguist George Lakoff has called this bracketing or sandwiching. That is, if the president says something that's untrue, like about the ballots, you lead with something that's true, the results of the Senate election, you put the president's statement in the middle, and then you close with the truth again that fact checks the president. That's hard work, but I think it's necessary work for journalism in the age of Trump.
So on this show, on Here and Now, we have this thing at the top of the show called the billboard, and it's 1 minute long. And we sort of say, this is what's coming up on the show. And oftentimes we have to put a clip of President Trump in the billboard. And we have actually taken them out at times. If it is something that's going to require too much fact checking afterwards, we'll just take it out. But that brings me to my next question. Is there a risk for the media in spending all of its time just fact checking every little thing that the president says?
Yeah, I think there is. I think there is absolutely a risk to dedicating a lot of time toward quoting the president and then trying to show with data ways that he's lying. Now, on the one hand, fact-checking seems to work for some news viewers. There was a study done by Brendan Nyhan, I think last year, that looked at fact-checking and found that indeed fact-checking does seem to work. It does seem to help people update their views toward the truth, but not all the time. In fact, sometimes, especially when audiences are older, less educated, and also it seems having a more conservative bent because conservatives tend to be more distrusting of the news media, they sometimes react to fact checks negatively by distrusting that media organization even more and, in fact, assuming, as one Gallup poll recently showed, that news organizations that try to fact check the president are themselves ipso facto fake news. Hmm. So this is a really complicated issue. Because it seems from this body of research, like fact-checking can work for one part of the American electorate, but for another part of the American electorate, it could actually turn them against the news media that's trying to pass along the truth in the first place.
Derek, in your piece about this week in The Atlantic, we'll link to it at hereandnow.org, you called Trump's lies a virus and the media the host that spreads the virus. Just briefly, what kind of response have you gotten?
Oh, man. What kind of response have I gotten? Well, look, Let me tell you the truth. The truth is that I don't honestly write about the president that often. My day job, as it were, is to be an economic, culture, and media commentator. And I approach this article and this issue from the capacity of caring about the media's role passing along truth. When I wrote this piece, though, I got a little glimpse into the world of political journalism. And the tweets and the emails and the Facebook responses that I received were not nice. And I cannot, frankly, imagine what daily life is like for our colleagues who spend all day, covering Trump. It is a virulent and vicious atmosphere out there.